M39, number 1B.
We can describe perhaps this question in a very practical way. When a neophyte in Christian Science reads the textbook and he comes to this passage of the 3 degrees, in a way he feels quite relieved, so to say, I would say. Why? Because for the first time, he seems to learn here, obviously, a step-by-step process. For the first time, he is shown first degree, second degree, third degree. And you know, a student likes that, who wants to know the rules of a subject that he's told first, second, third. Then he has a feeling, now I know where to begin, what is the next step, and what is the further step. In the whole textbook, we seldom have such a presentation of a subject. It's all a running text, a text that flows and flows without saying, now, first you have to do this, and second you have to do that, and third you have to do that. When it comes to this passage, usually I remember that also in my life I felt, oh, here now, for the first time, she gives us a step-by-step rule or method of how to work out things. Namely, that you start with depravity, with the first degree, and say, yes, that's true. Actually, this is so. I have evil beliefs. Huh? Yeah, there are the passions and appetites. There is fear. There is depraved will, self-justification, and so on, and so on. One sees one's picture there right away. It's like looking into a mirror and says, yes, this is quite familiar to me. And then the student says, ah, yes, that's the physical and the unreal. So we don't want the unreal, and therefore the next point that the student puts forward is, so how can I get rid of it? And he says, well, that's very easy now here explained. There is a second degree. So I go from the first to the second degree. And there we have evil beliefs disappearing, and we say to ourselves, yes, that's good. We want these evil beliefs to disappear. All right, what do I have to do? I come to the moral. There are transitional qualities, and we feel, oh yes, that's good. That's not asking too much. That is not reaching too high. This is something that is within my possibilities. So he reads those moral qualities and feels, well, then in this case, I have to bring out these moral qualities. And he tries very hard, perhaps, to bring out those qualities of humanity, of affection, of honesty, of compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance, and he is perhaps very, very sincere in doing his best to bring out these qualities, hoping, hopefully, that if he does that properly, that he will reach one day the third degree, the degree of the spiritual, of reality, the third degree of understanding. Isn't that what happens very often? You have been in the Christian Science movement long ago to know that I think this is the attitude of most students when they come to this passage. Now, question, is this the right approach? Silence, huh? Is this the right approach? Shaking of heads, huh? A silent no. Why? Isn't this what religion would teach us? Yes. Isn't it what perhaps metaphysics would teach us? Yes. Hmm? Why isn't it science? Yes. Uh-huh. So, actually, this little story I told just a moment would be a wrong story, that I say I begin with the first degree. You would say, no, begin with the first translation. And this is the great point that has to be seen, and I bet the movement would be very happy only to see this very point, that the second translation is an outcome of the first translation, that the second translation is not an original translation, it's actually translating back, and therefore in order to translate back, we must first correct the false translation, and we do that through the first translation. Again, we see how we get quite a new sense of practice in a general way here, which says, don't go out from a problem. Don't try to improve a problem through a thought rising spiritually upward so as to destroy materiality. Don't do that. But what you should do is to put the whole problem aside in a corner, as John Dolly would say, and turn and start out not with the problem, but with something completely different, namely with the first translation, with the divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. Fill your thoughts with God. Fill your thoughts with that translation that flows along with that terrific impact that the Christ translation has, and flow with it. What will it do? What will it achieve? And you said, quite rightly, whoever it was, said that understanding will clear up the situation. So that it is actually the first translation that puts the second translation into operation. It's not we that put the second translation in operation, as we would do if we would say, all right, I tried to replace the evil beliefs by moral qualities and rising higher and higher until I reach the state of understanding. So this is quite an important point, to see this very point, that the second translation is not an original translation, it's therefore not the first translation, so that any proposition that falls within the second translation can only be demonstrated when you go to the first translation, meaning that, again, the categories would show us where to start. Just as we had this morning when we said, if we have to deal with suffering, well, don't just start with soul and say, in soul there is no pain, in soul there is no suffering, there is no life in body, no pleasure in body, and no mortal mind in body and in matter. Don't start there. Start quite on a different angle. This is the mystery. Start at a quite different angle, namely in the higher frame of reference. Start with the Christ translation. Yeah. I teach too much. I should ask you more questions. Yes. And therefore, the question I could ask is this. What is now the relationship of that first translation with the first degree? How are they connected? Whereas the first translation, everything is in the absolute, everything is in the positive, is in the divine. And then suddenly we have, at the first degree, all the beliefs of depravity. What kind of a relationship does there exist? There are such extremes. And yet we said it's one translation, therefore we should see somehow the connecting law that is at work here. How do you see that? Yes, friend? Oh, yes? Just a moment. Depravity is in the word order. Yes. Oh, yes? How many are they? First seven. Yeah, but there are more than seven.
The next three
are, I think, the reaction to analysis of
annihilation, and the last four are the counterfeits of the world. I think.
Yeah.
You
think so?
I've read it.
Even if it were true, this is not the answer to the question. Because my question was, that goes before that, my question was, what relationship has the first translation with the first degree? How are they related? Yes? 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 Yeah. But if you have an it's all right, I just don't want to make you too insecure, but I like to bring it out a bit clearer. If you have the first translation, which is absolutely only in the positive, only in the positive, why then on earth suddenly the negative should be depicted? Yeah. Yes. That's the whole purpose of it. Does anybody have an answer to my question that... Yes, yes. See, that's what... you meant something like that, too. Yeah, not too much. All right. I wanted to help you. Yeah. The answer here was that the first translation, which is in the absolute, brings evil from undercover, from hiding, to the surface. And yet I would still like to know much more clear why, on which I ask, on which law or rule do these two work together? Why is it absolutely, by the law of opposites, that the first translation that is only in the divine, in the absolute, in the, which has no sense of error, why on earth should that have an effect, you see, to bring forth all the evil beliefs from undercover? And that is through what you call, or what Mrs. Eddy calls, the law of opposites, through that eternal law that says, if 2 and 2 is 4, everything that is opposed to that is wrong. So there again, if I say 2 and 2 is 4, that includes the fact that 2 and 2, 5 is wrong. 2 and 2, 5 is not another fact, another false fact. But in the statement that 2 and 2 alone is 4, is included that any other result is wrong. But it includes it. By what? By the law of opposites. Do you see that? Now, here comes the practical problem. Do we always see the nature of the first degree of depravity? Are we always aware of the laws of the depravity? Here comes in the question we had this morning from Vicky, If the case doesn't solve itself, what shall I do? And we said, what can you do if the case does not solve? Apparently we have not seen the truth about it, or it would resolve. Apparently we had not the right understanding, because understanding is the pivotal point here, which says if you have understanding, then the 3 degrees begin to come into operation by showing that depravity begins to disappear and the true idea of man appears. So we must see that actually the evil beliefs are not always seen. Take a collective belief. Take an unconscious collective belief. Take traditional belief, an ancestral belief, of which the person is not conscious of. We have a whole lot of other qualities than just these which are named here that we have to deal with. In practice, we have to deal with hundreds and hundreds of different qualities of unreality, not just these here. You see that? These here are more or less just a selection of all the possible evil beliefs that have to be dealt with. So it is not always seen what an evil belief is. All right, perhaps we can say disease, yes, that we can feel, but not even there we know what kind of a disease. There we not even may know what the disease is. We just may not feel well. Or we may already have a disease and not even know it. Well, death is perhaps the one that is most clear. when somebody is dead as a dodo, then we know it. But all the rest here, you see, you are only a selection and not the only one belief. Therefore, the very first thing, as we have seen, is first to find out what is the underlying argument, what is the underlying belief in a case, in a situation, whatever the problem is. And that underlying evil we cannot really discover or uncover unless we go to the first foundation. As we said this morning, start right out with that whole potentiality of principle and flow along through life, truth and love to the point of soul, spirit and mind, until in mind something begins to light up and an idea begins to appear, comes to our consciousness, and then we say, oh, this is it. And this, now you come to the law of opposite. This true idea by the law of opposite uncovers or analyzes what is really wrong. Is that clear? Again, I say it in a different way. When we go through the Christ order in consciousness, it is not so that that Christ consciousness brings to light the first degree. It brings to light mind, the true idea. And by the law of opposite, it shows the underlying error. Because through the first translation, we can, that has no consciousness of error. There's no consciousness of evil belief. It is so pure that it only can bring to light an idea. And that idea, by the law of opposite, will uncover really what is to be dealt with. So, if we go through the, in practice, all along, over years and years, say, over case and case, through that Christ translation, we will uncover here under the physical a whole list of depravity, not just these here. Is that clear? That must be clear. It is not just these here. Think of, think if somebody suffers of an ancestral belief and he doesn't know his ancestry. Think of it if he suffers under a hereditary belief. And he may not even know that such a thing has existed in his ancestry. Think of it if he suffers under a world belief, under a curse, say under a curse, and he was never aware of that he was cursed, that he is put under a curse. How on earth would we deal with such a situation if we would not have the first translation, which first would actually pinpoint where the evil belief is and what its form is? Yeah? Is that clear? That must be very clear. It means, I put it again in another way, it means that when we have a problem, we do not know always what the problem really is. We only feel something is wrong. We do not know really the argument lying behind it. Therefore, we cannot say, if I suffer under these few here that are mentioned in the first degree, that if I suffer under these, then these must be corrected. There are hundreds of beliefs that must be corrected, which fall all under the quotation of unreality, of depravity. And only really the divine mind reading is able to uncover the true, or show the right idea that uncovers really the opposite belief. I think this makes it clear again that the second translation cannot be original, that the first degree in the second translation is not original. It's already a false concept about a false translation. Something somewhere back in ancestry or somewhere back in history or in a collective consciousness, in a something has happened that was wrong, that was a wrong translation, and it stayed on as a collective belief, and we are not even aware of it. Then how could we uncover something that we are not aware of? This is the most important point. If everything only would have to do with these few points here, we would know them. We know what they are here. But in our case, in the case we are treating at the moment, we don't know what really the evil belief is that is causing the sickness or the discomfort or any evil belief. We don't know it. Here we read it as if we would know what the belief is. Yeah? You look at me a bit unbelieving or... Yeah? No. All right. So that I know if you have understood it, can somebody tell me the same thing in his or her words? Yeah. He put it very shortly and clearly. Huh? That's what happens if one is a master of the language. So you have to suffer with me that I use about 3 times more words to explain it. That's it. We live, you see, we live in a universe of beliefs, of individual beliefs, collective beliefs, universal beliefs, traditional beliefs, hereditary beliefs, collective, unconscious beliefs. We live in a terrific universe of beliefs, and we do not know them. We only know a surface layer of beliefs. We know them, perhaps, but all the rest, like in an iceberg, lies below the surface, and we don't know them. So how on earth are we going to translate them back into reality if we don't know them? So practice is perhaps 10% knowing what the belief is, and 90% not knowing what the belief is. First have to find out through mind reading. So this I said, in order to strengthen again that point which we made, that we cannot start with the first degree, because we don't know the first degree. Therefore we have to start with the first translation, which through divine mind reading and the law of opposites, analyzes the situation and can uncover the belief that is working. Yes, that's it. That's an hour. We'll make a break here.